your powder dry, folks.
All right. Good evening, everybody. I hopefully everybody finds their way here with our new time slot. This will be all summer. I suppose we'll go to about Labor Day weekend or September. We'll probably shoot for that. So that's the plan. Anyway, what I noticed, though, is I got the chat overlay up, but for some reason, they are not coming up there right now. I don't know what that's about. I do know that our program, we did, there's a new update on it, so bear with us if we're kind of messing up a little bit tonight with the actual podcast program, because it's a little bit different than what we're used to.
We're working on it. Yeah, it's a little stranger. We're working on it. On our end, but not yours. It shouldn't be.
Brian, good to see you. Hey, Eric, one-shot cap. Oh, yeah, they're starting to roll in here. And for those listeners over on Rumble, we appreciate it. That's really growing over there. Did you see the numbers today, Mike,
that I put out there? Yeah, we're getting way up there. Good numbers on that.
And now we're up to 193 views. So since I've shared that with you, it's jumped about five or six just from this afternoon, and about 2 hours ago, over on Rumble. So yeah, again, thanks, guys. Rumble's becoming probably a little bit better as far as I'm concerned than YouTube, because I believe YouTube is actually throttling us. I know Jamie thinks the same thing. If you look at the numbers of the latest episodes on YouTube, they'll be, and they jump, they'll be up, like, say there's 38, 40 views, you know, afterwards, and all of a sudden it jumps down to 31, then it'll build back up and get up. I don't understand what's going on that, but I have a feeling I know exactly what. They don't want anybody out there watching us. So it's
the algorithm. All day long, I see somebody is going back in. Right now, they're in the, like, October of 23, reviewing each one of your shows. Even before I got here, when you and Jamie were doing it. And so, yeah, they're reviewing the shows, and they're hitting us and dinging us for music or with this or that, oh, yeah, or whatever else. So yeah, they're going to be doing that. And that's, you know, they're not doing it to all these. Let me tell you something. I walk in on some of the things that my kid plays once in a while, and it just scrolls from one guy to the next and all that. And all right, I'm like going, really, this is entertainment? This is fun? I mean, there are people that are entertaining on YouTube. I mean, I watch them too, but man, some of these guys, I'm just like, and they're monetized, and I just don't get that. It's just lame.
I don't either. It's the things that get on there. I'm like, okay, whatever.
We're a Second Amendment podcast. I mean, that's what we are. So, I mean, that's automatically going to hate us anyway. Where are they based out of? They're not Silicon Valley. They're in San Francisco, aren't they?
Don't even know.
You do? Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Oh, well. Anyway, yeah, let them stay out there.
So I haven't checked to see on Twitch if anybody's on Twitch tonight, but hey. We'll do that too at some point here.
Yeah, we'll go through it. Hey, we got a lot going on tonight for Guns in the 701. Of course, we are going to go over a bunch of good stories that have come across in the last few days. Plus, we'll try to hit on some things that we were hitting on a couple weeks ago, some results and some things that happened. Plus, we've got our Badass of the Week coming up as well for today, and it's going to be a good one, especially for all you gangbangers out there. You're going to love this one. So we've got it going. So a lot planned. So what do you want to start with first?
Well, let's start with the Second Amendment first. I believe that's what we should do. You want to put that up there?
Right. That's right. You're putting me in charge.
Go ahead.
I got it. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
Amen to that. And I think we've been seeing infringement for a long time, but yeah, there are a lot of things going on. I guess the big thing is dipshit Biden was out there. What, yesterday did he do that where he went down and he, that's
President dipshit.
Yeah. He's going to close the border, which we all know is BS. We absolutely know it. And I know, what does this have to do with the Second Amendment? Well, I'm going to let Mike go through that story, but remember, the people coming across that border, they're running guns, they're running drugs. They're the bad people, okay? They're not the good guys. They're the bad ones. And that's why it's such a threat, because if we have them kind of people showing up all over the country, which we do, go look at the crime stats, and even Bismarck, Fargo, Sioux Falls, how they went up here in the last 3 years, it's astounding, actually. Yeah. So I think it is an important issue, and this is for people to think anything's actually good happening. Yeah, BS, it's not happening at all. This is a bad thing. shut the damn thing down. Just shut it down completely. Yeah. But go ahead, Mike, and take it, because I know you.
Well, of course, the president announced an executive order on Tuesday. And of course, the officials say they will shut down the U.S.-Mexico border if the illegal crossings top 2,500 per day. 25. Anyway, well, for 7 consecutive days, I should say, a crackdown will still allow at least 1.8 million asylum seekers into America.
Wait. Them are illegals. Let's just call them what they are.
Oh, that's right. I was reading. Illegals into America each year if fully enforced. Now, the order, due to take effect immediately, will bar additional illegals from applying for asylum periods during heavy traffic, but would also lift those restrictions 2 weeks after daily crossing averages are 1,500 per day for 7 days. That's what the administrations are saying. So now I love this because, you know, you've got guys and girls coming over illegally.
You're not
counting all of them. All right. Well, when we get to 2,500 a day for 7 days, then we're going to shut it down. Well, I'm like, I always picture the cartoon of a guy standing there with like counting everybody, one, two, and there's like there's a whole bunch of people behind him sneaking by, you know. And
they just go down there and cross the river somewhere else, and they don't pay any attention. Absolutely.
With a clicker, yeah. I got my clicker.
Gene, he puts up and he goes, yeah. He says, AOC is going to be down there crying again. Yeah, no kid. You know, I really wonder why this isn't coming through.
She's not liking it either, believe it or not. She was talking bad about the Biden thing today as well. Can you believe that? AOC. Of course, you know, I've been reading a lot of stories lately talking about Biden. It's talking about how his dementia is flaring pretty hard because he is, you know, it takes a lot to run for president. And as you can tell, he don't run much anymore.
doesn't even ride a bike. He falls over.
Well, yeah, but I mean, and again, I'm 57 almost, and I fall over on my motorcycle. I mean, I guess that's one thing. And I'm not even drinking when I do it, but then, you know. That might be my problem right there. But, you know, it's just a simple thing. It's like, you know, he's just not with it. I really scared out of Kamala Harris presidency. That I cannot see as well.
That'd be a bad deal.
If our country was running smooth, I don't see her in there not screwing things up left and right. She is just absolutely atrocious as a person, let alone as elected official. So it drives me crazy. But, you know, we continue on with this and we keep putting idiots in place, and yeah, it just makes no sense whatsoever.
AOC as well, she's not exactly the brightest bulb anyway.
No.
And she also, he's a big gun banner. She hasn't met him. Band she hasn't loved, so I've got no use for her anyway. But
let me pull this up for you real quick. So hardly a cut. This is from that same story. Biden action would allow 1.8 million people a year through the things and other amnesty programs, and while that's less than a year's sky high, it's still far higher than the number of migrants from previous years. So really, it's optics. That's all he's shooting for. This is a political optics on a election year, and he is trying to undercut right now anything he can against his opponent, and he's trying to come up with anything. So,
not just that. Yeah, they're in their poor optics because we all know that those numbers are the ones that's the ones they're going to count on, the 2,500. And we all know that it's been more than that already, and they're coming across. We just did a story where down there in California where the Chinese and the rest of them are coming across, and they're throwing their fake passports behind this guy's gun shop, and then he picks them up and shows up. Look at where these people are coming from. So, I mean, it's bad optics, really. But for the low-information voter or the people that digest the mainstream media stuff, guess what? They're going to believe that crap. I love my father, but he sits there and digests MSNBC, or as Rush used to call him, PMSNBC, and those kind of stations. And he believes this crap because he watches nothing else.
We want to say hi in case we actually have one, but Mike from New York really likes the show.
So. Glad to have you listening, Mike. You know what, Mike? Tell us how you found us. I've been asking people lately.
Yeah.
I've been getting some interesting feedback on that. So, yeah, I especially when I don't know the people, I want to say, hey, how'd you find us? Because it's a good thing to know. Oh, look at there. Finally, they're coming up. I reset it. Now they're coming up. Great. Mm-hmm. Now we're just going to start coming in here. But So, and Gene's got it there. Makes you wonder. Kamala dropped out of the race with less than 1% approval. That's right. Remember, she didn't even have 1% in the race.
Nobody
Biden can't string a sentence together, and they win the presidency. He goes, I'm skeptical. I can just added that for you, Gene. I just know how you do it. And you're absolutely right. Oh, Brian Wallner. Thanks, Brian. He says, that's my uncle. Good to have you on, Mike.
Here we go.
We've been growing. I've noticed that. Although we're being like shadowed or shadow banned on YouTube, CommyTube. But we've been growing on there anyway as far as subs. So people are going back and watching. And the downloads on the podcast are doing great. So we want to appreciate everybody for doing that. Rumble has been growing actually quite a bit. So you can find us on Rumble. I know how I can get these chats in here now, but I got to go to the other side of this program, that OSB. And I'm not real familiar with that, Mike, so we might have to work on that through the summer.
Yeah, I'm still working on it. I mean, this is all a learning process for a lot of this stuff. It's, it's kind of a newer thing, and, I'm working on it little by little. But I got to tell you, we're getting better and better at this stuff. I mean, by the time we're up to our 200th show, we might know what we're doing.
Yeah, we got 100 coming up. You said we're going to do something. I think, on our 100th show, we have that certificate for free barrel threading. That might be, we might have to come up with something and do it then. So, by the way, and we have nothing to do with what we're talking about, but this is our deal. I had to point this out because that's David there from 1760 Sports shooting a 50 at 1 mile. We were able to grab some pictures and do some video there with our little remotes. And he did. He rung the mile out there, 1760 yards. And David had a great time. We're glad he joined us with his son. Your son came with you as well, and we just had a great day out there at Whalen's place. So there it is, guys. Smoke is a blowing there. I was hoping to catch maybe some bullets, but I took that down frame by frame from the video, and that was probably the best one I got. So, but yeah, there it is. He hit the mile. I thought that'd be a great intro.
Some of the ones I caught was David's son. He had that. What do they call it now? That's not a. It's not a cricket. It's Roscoe. Not Roscoe. It's Rascal.
Oh,
yeah. Rascal. And I was watching some of the videos on his son shooting. And you can see some of the bullets come out on those little slower ones. But back to this story real quick. Of course, if we're talking about the still wide open. If you look at these, I mean, we're talking about a mass parole scheme files many migrants from Cuba, Nicaragua, Venezuela, and also Guatemala, one of my most hated places in the world.
we'll talk about that some other day.
Someday I'll tell you all about it. That's a story for you. How many are let in annually by the CPT or CBT or whatever, one app? Of course, 529,000. You're doing a total of 800 something, and it's just,
What he's saying is 1.8 million, right? Right. 1.8 million total illegals will be allowed into this country every year, even if the new rules are followed. So that's just the ones that they're going to try to count.
That they catch.
I mean, we've been invaded. We've already been seeing it. We're seeing it show up, like I said, in every city in the United States. I know that it's affecting Dickinson. It's affecting Bismarck, Sioux Falls, Rapid City. And I'm going on the big ones in North and South Dakota because it is happening. They're there. You see them. They're not the good people either. And now, I don't know if you saw part of this with Biden's deal. I didn't go that far into this one. But did you also see that all these people coming over seeking asylum, they're going to get free health care too?
Oh, no. I got a better one for you on that one. Out of New York alone. This is in, what is that? That's actually on the island, Manhattan Island.
Yeah.
Is you're talking about the 135 out of the 680 hotels in the New York City are now shelters for illegals.
Wow.
So, and this is what the site you're getting. And
hey, those look like men. They look like women and children, don't they? All them men.
Well, I'm trying to look real close on any of these pictures, and I'm trying to find any children in there or women. If they are the ugliest women I've ever seen. But
they look like fighting age men, don't they?
Yeah. Staten Island, all the way up through Brooklyn, up through Manhattan, the Bronx, and all the way around Queens and everything, spreading all the way around. And I'm like, this is my thing, is like, we're in a capitalist society. So who's paying for that? Well, obviously we are.
We are
paying for that. We're paying for them to live free. We're paying for them to not have
everything
to work while they're here.
Yes.
Because, we can't get a job. Well, and if they do get a job, what are they doing? They're undercutting people. And I think that's wrong for workers, or I should say the guys that hire people. If you hire illegals, I mean, I'm not on your band side either, because that's where the problem lies. So that's all these guys down in Florida and all that to say, well, if we don't have illegals, we won't be able to get the crops pulled. Well, then you are not putting the money where you should be. You should be paying, you know, us a decent wage or doing something instead of, you know, basing your whole financial plans on illegals, on having them break in to do this.
Well, part of the problem with this whole system, whether they're hiring the illegals or they truly are hiring foreign workers, is, again, you kind of hit it. I don't even want to say the nail on the head there with the money thing. Right now, there's a program where if you're a rancher, farmer, you can bring, we got neighbors here that do it on these big operations, and they bring these assholes up here. I'm not even going to go into the things we see up here. And I think it's called EB-5 workers.
Yeah,
a lot of them come from Venezuela, down in that South America area. And the guys who bring them up here, they pay them a stipend, essentially. Mm-hmm. It's almost like the good old days where you'd come over and an indentured servant type thing. But the feds then supplement that. So it really, there's not a hell of a lot of that coming out of the actual producer's pocket. Well, it's pretty hard to compete with that, isn't it? Even if you got, say they offered 10 and 15 bucks an hour or so much, most of the time in the ag community, it's a yearly or a monthly wage, right? And that's how you have to do that. Hours vary. I can tell you, hours vary. You can't go on an 8-hour day and say, all right, you're done. And no. So it's usually salary.
Right.
But you can't even give a decent salary. Say you provide a person a home. And this is how it typically goes. They have a place to live. They take care of all their utilities. Generally, there's some beef involved if it's a beef producer. And then some of them even let them run cattle on their place, maybe 10, 15, 20 pairs. So it's like an extra supplemental income. It's not a bad wage. But even if you're allowed all that, you can't compete when the government's bringing in foreigners and paying the wage, and the producer's like, well, heck, I don't pay for nothing. And that's part of the problem. And so when they say, oh, we can't get nobody to work, they're right. They can't get anybody to work for nothing. I wouldn't.
Well,
and that's the problem.
You know, I remember living in South Carolina and, of course, going over to South Carolina and going up partying in North Carolina a lot. And the pickle farmers up there, of course, a lot of them were immigrants and whatnot, or some illegal and this and that. But I remember this one guy, he opened up a drive-in theater, and it was going to show nothing but Spanish Latino heritage movies. So that was the thing. Now, he told him, he says, here's the deal, I'll do this. The first time you guys screw up, fights, cops come here, whatever, I shut it down, I'll burn the whole thing down. There won't be anything left in this field. And says, and you guys can go to hell. So he told them that, and he meant it. And they policed themselves, and they kept everything straight. And that place is still running today, as a matter of fact, because
most
of that.
Likely,
a little force actually works. So why doesn't it work on a government level against these people as well?
Because they don't want it to. They want to. They want exactly what's happening. David, he chimed in, said that it's a tactical rascal. So
yeah.
That's what it sounds
like. I liked it.
I'll tell you what, we are 20 minutes in. Let's go ahead and let's take our first ad and thank our two top-tier sponsors, and then we'll be right back. How about that?
We're going to do a double on this one, so we can get that done right now.
Commissioner, yeah. I'm from the Athlete's Foot, baby.
Brother, hey, can you get my demo tape to somebody?
Lauer Auto Repair, located at 309 South Washington Street in Bismarck, North Dakota.
Give them a call at 701-258-6308.
The team of mechanics at Lauer Auto can take care of any problem your vehicle is having. And when you do business with Lauer, you can be assured you're doing business with a pro Second Amendment America First repair shop. There are plenty of other auto repair shops in the Bismarck-Mandan area. But why take a chance at patronizing a shop that might not have your beliefs at heart? Make no mistake.
Make no
no mistake.
Lauer Auto is your pro Second Amendment repair shop. When you talk to the guys at Lauer Auto, don't forget to tell them that you heard they are a sponsor of Guns and the 701 and that you appreciate their support of our pro Second Amendment, pro North Dakota live stream and podcast. That's Lauer Auto Repair, 701-258-6308.
701-258-6308.
Located 309 South Washington Street in Bismarck, North Dakota.
Experience the exhilaration of power in your hands at Bloodline Kinetics. Why Cerakote? Simply, it aids in firearm preservation while also giving your piece a unique look. Barrel threading, NFA laser engraving, bolt handle threading, mount, level, and bore, sight scope chamber rebarreling, and much more. Bloodline Kinetics is meant to reflect a long American lineage in gun ownership who stand for the Second Amendment rights, Bloodline, and the science behind gun accuracy, Kinetics. To some, it's just a concept. Constitutional right that can go away. To us, it's in our American bloodline, and we believe it should stay that way. Here at Bloodline Kinetics, we understand that hunters, sportsmen, women, and gun owners should have a quality firearm. Stop and see us at 2008 Morrison Avenue 2 in Bismarck, North Dakota, 58504, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call 701-390-7997. Visit our website, bloodlinekinetics.com.
All right, welcome back again. Thanks to our great sponsors. We cannot make this happen without them. And
don't forget the new address. The new addresses we've got are coming up for Mandam as well. We're going to be talking about that.
Yep, in a brand new one for Mandam Sporting Goods. And I haven't had time to do the voiceover with that.
Fences, farm, you know, that kind of stuff.
Gets in the way sometimes. Other things. You know? This isn't our full-time job. So, yeah, you know how that goes. I want to get back to this deal here. So I was just kind of reading through this, through that little break. And I thought it was interesting that basically there's a Republican congressman. He was literally talking about how the appropriations bill they already did for some of this crap, and that was Marjorie Taylor Greene, they aren't even using the beds that they approved for that last appropriations for all these illegals.
Yep.
And they're still asking for more. And then, yeah, like she says, even if they halt the asylum or if the asylum process is temporarily haltered, what are the patrol agents going to do? They're going to keep coming. They're going to continue to arrive. They're not going to claim asylum. Then what? Well, right now, being Title 41 disappeared, they're going to be detained and released for a court date that will never happen or they'll never show up. And we know that this regime will not go after them. So she kind of did the numbers on that. And essentially, it looks like to me that you could look at 1.5 to 2 million coming over that way. Well, they're going to come over regardless. That's on top of the 1.8 million that Biden says he's going to take care of. So you start putting these numbers. That's in a year, guys. In a year. I'm not the smartest man, but I can tell you that that's over 3 million people. No, if it was at the, Title 42, it wasn't Title 41. My fault on that. But
still, I mean, it was working. I mean, numbers were going down. I mean, things were working.
Well, how would you like this number?
You can say whatever you want to say about Trump, but, that was working. And I don't understand why we don't keep doing it.
So since Biden entered office January 20th, 2021, and he pretty much he got rid of everything he could except Title 42. He just went ahead and let it expire, which, guys, that was remain in Mexico. That's what Title 42 was. 9 million illegals that have been recorded entering our nation illegally. Okay, 9 million. And roughly 1.7 are known to have sneaked in without arrest, as they call it. Gotaways. So 9 million recorded, and then another 1.7 million that are gotaways. And that's what they're recording. That ain't even what they're getting. That's 10.7 million. Again, that's over 3 million a year.
Well, I want you to remember this. What's the population of North Dakota?
Oh, 700 and some. It might be pushing a million. I didn't look at the last census, but
I mean, we can reload a lot of ammo, but you know what? If there's a war coming, that's it's not really going to help us too much. So,
So, And then Biden's always, you know, up there going, I just need, you got to give me the power. All I've done is ask for the power to control the border. BS. You have the power to do that.
Yeah, right now.
And that's just a flat out lie. And then, you know, the terminology is everything. And how many times have you heard me say that? We changed them from illegals to migrants.
Right.
No, they're not migrants. They're illegals. They're not even, what was the one term they were using for a while? Immigrants, some type of immigrant. I'm like, no. Oh, undocumented. Right. Yeah, they're undocumented, right? Because they're freaking illegal, need to be, have their asses deported. And Trump was doing it. And you can say what you want, but Trump did have that number under control.
No, and it's like when I'm drunk driving, you know, if, well, not that I do, but if I'm drunk driving, you know, I'm ethanol enabled. I don't know.
What scares me the most is, you remember we had Fast and Furious under Obama, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we know what happened there. We had a lot of illegals crossing that border, illegal guns, I'm talking, crossing that border, and then being used on our own border agents. So mm-hmm. everyone knows what happened with Fast and Furious that follows this.
And well, I forgot what the AG then is doing now. He's like in charge of like a, you know, something important. I got to look him up. What was his name? What was his Adams? No, shoot. Can't remember what his name. Eric.
Holder. Eric Holder.
Eric Holder. Yeah, I got to look up what he's doing real quick. But yeah, go ahead. Well,
he did go back to Chicago, and I don't know what he did there. Did he serve as mayor? I don't think mayor. I don't know. He did go back to Chicago, you know, but I'm telling you right now, and that supposedly was a controlled thing. This is completely uncontrolled.
Controlled.
Across the border in several places. I had Erica Valdez on here. She did a Farm Bureau thing here two years ago at our state convention, or our Young Farmer Convention, I don't remember. And that's why I had her on the show. I mean, she showed me the pictures. She showed me the videos of the things happening and coming across their own land and the things they deal with. It's usually drug mules, but they're heavily armed. They've got a lot of stuff with them. You don't want to cross them, or they'll shoot it. Now, they will kill you. If you do happen to defend yourself, then the cartels will come up and they'll kill your family, kill you, kill your kids. They'll just wipe your family out completely. And our government under Biden does nothing. You know, I asked her a very serious question. I said, what was it like, you know, now versus under Trump? She goes, well, under Trump, it was a lot better. She says, at least you could go to your border patrol agents, they would do something. She said it was still bad, but nothing like what she's seeing right now. And I think the damage is done.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if we can ever get that thing corralled again. I know Trump says he's going to do it, but I don't know if you're going to be able to do it. I mean, you'll be able to catch some of them and get them out of here, but I don't know. I think the damage is done now.
I'll throw this one back in for Eric Holder real quick. Of course, in 2016, hired at the MTN Group, a South African-based telecommunications company, to combat a $3.9 billion fine handed to the group. So he was battling that so that they didn't have to pay the fine. Then he worked with the Nigerian Attorney General to reach a compromise, of course, with that. October 2006, Holder announced he would chair the newly incorporated National Democratic Redistricting Committee. So you're looking at one of the reasons why, of course, aiming to change things before the 2020 census. February, Uber hired him to investigate sexual harassment claims and stuff for them. So they're paying him big bucks. 2018, several occasions, they were saying he might run for president. I'd like to see that. That would have been an easy win right there. It goes on the way down the line. He's just money. He's jumping from thing to thing, and he's obviously making tons of money on that. Because that's what they do. I mean, they just keep paying themselves. 2023, Holder was one of the lawyers representing Tennessee politician Justin Jones and Justin J. Pearson, who were expelled from the Tennessee House of Representatives for leading a protest in favor of gun control on the floor house. Now, he was representing the guys leading a protest on the floor of the house for gun control. Let me remind you, he is the guy who allowed the guns to come over on our land from Mexico.
Yes, so, he did. Yeah.
But, you know, so he's making his money on both ways is basically what it comes down to. So.
Oh, yeah, he's a commie. He's a...
By the way, I love having this new big screen I got in here to do this.
I don't know. Isn't that great?
I can find all this stuff. So, and I'm so blind anyway that it's just so wonderful. Lynette was making fun of me because I'm always looking up here now. So I've got to find a way to get the camera somewhere even. But yeah, so yeah, that's okay. We'll work our way through it.
Well, you know, wait till you get two of them.
Oh, yeah. That's down the road. little by little. I'll surround this room with TVs.
We'll have our,
when we get big enough that way, I get to have our guns in the 701 desks with the logos all in, that'll be nice. We'll like that kind of studio.
Well, we got to get those little things you put around your mic.
Oh, yeah. The mic covers with your name on there. Yeah,
but anyway, I guess as far as I'm concerned, this got worse. Now they're going to get, and they did, they're going to give him health care. He stumbled. He should have said, guys, I don't recommend trying to listen to a Biden speech, because you see little clips on TV.
Little clips, don't you?
And it's the best part of it, which is bad anyway. But the guy also is going to give him health care. You know where that's coming from. So we got people can't afford that themselves in this country, but we're going to give it to illegals. But I'm telling you, we got till November and then actually till January if things go correctly. I hope we can survive. I really do. And I'm waiting for something bad to happen. Even if Trump wins, between November and December is going to be, or November and January 20 is going to be very critical. Very critical. So, all right. Well, I guess maybe this is a good spot. Let's take that. Let's take the break where we thank everybody. And we're going to come back and we're going to give you an update about Senior Airman Roger Fortson. If you don't remember, he was gunned down by Deputy Eddie Duren in Okaloosa County, so down there in Florida. But let's go ahead and let's thank some sponsors, take a little break, pay some bills, and we'll come back and we'll dive into this and
talk. Guns in the 701.com. We'll be right back.
Yep.
I'm from the Athletes Club,
baby. Brother. Hey. Can you give my demo tape to somebody?
Lauer Auto Repair, located at 309 South Washington Street in Bismarck, North Dakota.
Give them a call at 701-258-6308.
The team of mechanics at Lauer Auto can take care of any problem your vehicle is having. And when you do business with Lauer, you can be assured you're doing business with a pro Second Amendment America First repair shop. There are plenty of other auto repair shops in the Bismarck Mandan area. But why take a chance at patronizing a shop that might not have your beliefs at heart? Make no mistake. Lauer Auto is your pro Second Amendment repair shop. When you talk to the guys at Lauer Auto, don't forget to tell them that you heard they are a sponsor of Guns and the 701 and that you appreciate their support of our pro Second Amendment, pro North Dakota live stream and podcast. That's Lauer Auto Repair, 701-258-6308. 701-258-6308. Located 309 South Washington Street in Bismarck, North Dakota.
Experience the exhilaration of power in your hands at Bloodline Kinetics. Why Cerakote? Simply, it aids in firearm preservation while also giving your piece a unique look. Barrel threading, NFA laser engraving, bolt handle threading, mount, level, and bore, sight scope chamber rebarreling, and much more. Bloodline Kinetics is meant to reflect a long American lineage in gun ownership who stand for the Second Amendment rights, Bloodline, and the science behind gun accuracy, Kinetics. To some, it's just a constitutional right that can go away. To us, it's in our American bloodline, and we believe it should stay that way. Here at Bloodline Kinetics, we understand that hunters, sportsmen, women, and gun owners should have a quality firearm. Stop and see us at 2008 Morrison Avenue 2 in Bismarck, North Dakota, 58504, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call 701-390-7997. Visit our website, bloodlinekinetics.com.
Ever tried catching a fish with your bare hands or hunting a deer with a stick? Don't be that guy. At Mandan Sporting Goods, we've got all the hunting and camping gear you need. We're your one-stop shop for outdoor adventure.
A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
Check us out at mandansportinggoods.com or, better yet, stop in to 210 East Main Street, Mandan, North Dakota. Mandan Sporting Goods, where the outdoors meets functionality. Store hours, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Closed Sunday. Take up arms at Mandan Sporting Goods. Your adventure starts here.
All right, welcome back, everybody. And we want to, of course, update you a little bit on what we're talking about when it comes to Mandan Sporting Goods. Their new address is 206 4th Avenue Northwest. 206 4th Avenue Northwest. We'll get that changed by next week in our advertising. And, yes, Jamie and I are still planning when Brandon's ready to do his grand opening. We're still planning to be up there. So look, be looking for that. He said a couple weeks possibly. Right. I know he was moving some stuff. So hopefully it's not during that late or that Father's Day weekend. I might not be able to make it then. We have to do a different one. But keep that in mind. And on our 100th episode, so this episode will be three episodes from now. I think that's what we're going to do. We're going to come up with something to celebrate that. That's pretty good, really. I didn't think we'd make it 100 episodes. So.
I mean, it's still pretty good. And, you know, it's a good show. I mean, we do our best, and, you know, we've gotten better and better as we go along. Jamie has done excellent with 701 Nation. A lot of his drops that he does throughout the days with Axe and all the other guys, that, you know, you're engrossed in it. You're informed, and he's giving you great information on great things. And I'm a lot more knowledgeable because of those videos.
I love his 220 Swift. Of course, I'm partial. You know, I have a Swift, and I love it. So that was fun to watch that 220 Swift video they did. And him and Axe do some great stuff up there. If I lived closer, I'd go and join them. And I just honestly, I don't get the time to do it like they do. Especially this time of year. And in winter, it was open, but it wasn't exactly shooting weather. They just do a better job of it. So let the guys that are doing it better do it. They do a good job with it. So anyway.
Well, let's go into this real quick. Of course, we're talking about Deputy Eddie Duran.
Yeah.
He is no longer a deputy.
No. Well, on May 3rd, he killed Senior Airman Roger Forts. And now everyone, I'm sure, saw the video because it was released. Mm-hmm. Opens up the door and the guy, tells him to drop the gun. There was no reason for him to be there. But nonetheless, that's what happened, and shot him. Okay. The initial review of the body cam video, it was discussed already here, like Ammo Land, they had it out there. And it did it when Forreston answered the deputy's demand for entry on a domestic violence call. See, this is my problem with this stuff. People can call in, say, oh my God, there's someone being killed next door.
Yeah.
And they're not. And that's what the case was here. Shalimar, Florida is where this took place. Okaloosa County, and as of May 31st, they have released Deputy Eddie Duran from their employ. He is no longer a deputy sheriff. He was terminated from his position. They deemed that he violated the sheriff's office policy and took care of it. Well, he still killed somebody. I mean, that was not needed, and he killed somebody. So there's a final investigative report, and that's done by the Office of Professional Standards. That's kind of an internal investigation done by the county sheriff's office. And when they did and then there was a separate investigation by the Florida Department of Law Enforcement. So that would be interesting. The scope of the internal investigation is limited to whether the deputy violated policy. So that's all they were looking for is violation of policy. They deemed it and they let him go. The other agencies, though, can determine if there's a criminal action occurred. And that's what's going to happen. And that's pretty standard. Anyone that's listening, though, that if you have other insight on this, I think that's pretty standard operating procedure within all law enforcement agencies in an incident like this. And it should be. You should investigate.
Well, the first one,
did it wrong or right.
The first one you said, basically, if he violates the rules of the department, then they can remove him from the department. Then he's no longer under the, I would say the policeman's union and all the other stuff. And then they can pursue other sides. Because until then, policeman's union is a strong union, and it protects police from a lot of crap that gets thrown at them. But, if you don't have that protection because you were the one in the wrong, they're not going to back you up. So
and that's, right.
We got to see that. Yeah.
Yeah, Jamie just chimed in. He's going to be doing something. I told him to send the details, and we'll put it up here. So
right.
But you know what the problem is here. And you all know how I feel mostly about law enforcement. There is a place for them. Okay, I think they have went way beyond what their duty is, And I don't like the idea of law enforcement. I wish they were called peace officers again. It really troubles me, though, when I see sheriffs that don't follow the Constitution and rather uphold a law that isn't necessarily right.
Right.
There are good ones out there that don't. They just like, no, this is unconstitutional law, and I'm not going to do it. Or they serve their actual constituents that elected them. I like having elected sheriffs. They should answer to the people because they should be by the people. But that's a whole right. other. We got to have a whole discussion.
We'll show on that, yeah.
Anyway, so what they found in this final investigative report, and it was, I guess, pretty apparent, that a neighbor reported a domestic disturbance created most of that's what created most of this drama. She based her concerns on hearing one voice, she didn't know who, through an air duct, really.
Right.
Well, so she gave the apartment leasing agent the apartment number, but was
gave him the wrong number.
Yeah, well, it was in here, yeah, but was unwilling to contact the police herself. Then when the fatal shots were fired, she contacted then the sheriff's office. So after this deputy shows up, shoots the guy, then she contacts the sheriff's office.
Oh, yeah.
The apartment leasing agent relayed the information to Deputy Eddie Dern and added some additional speculation, there you go, about the previous incident, which the administrator was not clearly involved in. There was assumptions in the reports which were incorrect. The report breaks down that what happened from the county sheriff's office was called until the door in the apartment of 1401 started to be open. At the time the door is starting to be open, it goes through the body camera footage, FIR did, in greater detail. They went down frame by frame, sometimes 30 frames per second. And from that time, Deputy Duran draws his firearm until the shooting has stopped and Fortson is ordered to drop the gun and responds with, "I don't have it." And he didn't. I saw a video that didn't even show he had a gun, but I didn't see anything else in here about that. But every event is examined, sometimes frame by frame. The body camera recorded all the events. Okay. The woman who made the initial complaint never heard anyone other than Fortson speak in the apartment on May 3rd. She equated Fortson speaking loudly to an argument. Well, I don't even know. Was there anybody else in there? Did you ever hear anything about that?
No, nothing. And, you know, my wife was watching something last night. We were playing cards, waiting for the results for our local elections. And mm-hmm. we're playing cards. And she's got something on. And it's a cop show, all kinds of crooked cops, this and that. And then somebody's beating up a hooker in it. And I'm like going, you know, I don't want to watch this. And I said to my wife, I says, no offense, I don't want to watch this. Either put on the news, put on some music, do something else. But, you know, I don't need to watch this crap, you know, in my life. Well, think about that. If that's watching TV, whether it's loud or not,
right.
And something's on the TV, and then all of a sudden you got people calling because, oh, somebody next door, it's got a nuclear weapon or something, and I heard him say it.
It's just like right now. Okay, I'm in the basement where I have all this set up, and if you can't hear it here because I got that mic set so that it doesn't pick up that kind of noise, but I can hear them up there right now.
Right.
You know, the TV's on. Who knows? You know, I know that my nephew's out here. I know that they're. I mean, I can hear activity up there.
Mm-hmm.
So, can you imagine if that's happening in these apartments? I couldn't live in a city. I just couldn't do it. But anyway, so getting back to this, at the time they talked about, 5 shots were fired in under a second. Did you know that?
No.
That's pretty fast, really. Anyway, she says that it was a loud argument is what she thought it was. She believed there was a child in Forston's apartment, perhaps because he had a dog. And she may have misinterpreted noise that the dog made for noises from a child. So had no details, all kinds of assumptions, and she calls, right? Not the cops. She didn't do that, though, until you know, she heard the shots, evidently. When she contacted the county sheriff's office, she asked if the child was okay. So she definitely thought there was a kid in there. Now, here's what's – I don't know if you saw this in ours. It says, Deputy Duran did not go to the wrong apartment. He went to the apartment he was directed to go to. That's what they say here.
Yeah.
Deputy Duran did not hear evidence of an ongoing disturbance when he listened outside the apartment number 1401. He thought he heard a muffled reference to the effing police. And in all honesty, if I'm sitting there minding my own business, which if I was in my apartment on a weekend or whatever day it was, and all of a sudden there's a knock on my door, that'd probably be my reaction. So I'm not exactly happy about that kind of stuff.
They say in the audio too, it's unclear, but the muffled police can be distinguished, but you know, the word before it can't. So even that's questionable. Yeah.
Then Deputy Duran, he was primed to believe that he was in an extremely dangerous situation by the poor information he had been given before he approached the door. Then he shouldn't approach the damn door.
There you go.
This is my problem with cops today. They assume it's their right to investigate something that doesn't exist. Okay.
Right.
If you don't have clear evidence, I mean, a judge would have never gave a warrant based on this shit.
No.
So why the hell did he even knock on the door? And if he did knock on the door and the guy said, go away, he should have went away. Right. There was no clear evidence. There was no any kind of inclination that there was wrongdoing going on in there. That man had no right to even really demand to be.
If I sat at the door in a polite way as possible without opening it and says, I just got my pot pie out of the microwave. I'm sitting down to watch a movie. I ain't got time for you. Well, that's, you're right. Walk away.
He had zero rights as a cop to go into that apartment. He just didn't. Anyway, he thought it was a poor situation from the information that he had been before he approached the door. Deputy Duran then reported that when he looked into Forston's eyes, he saw aggression. Oh, really?
Oh, jeez. So you're trained for that, huh?
Well, what I'd like to know is, and I've been told that I've got a pretty bad look when I'm pissed, okay? Doesn't mean I'm going to be aggressive. And I've had enough people tell me that when I'm pissed, that it's evidently pretty relevant. Maybe you've seen it, Mike. I've seen it a few times. But that's still no reason to really interrogate me, right?
No.
Same here. When he saw the gun in Forston's hand, he immediately thought he was in extreme danger and reacted by shooting him. So, A, was it illegal for Forston to have a gun? Probably.
No.
I know. Was he in his own apartment? Yes. Does he have a Second Amendment right? Yes.
Yes.
Have a gun? Yes. When he answers the door? Yes. I've done that. Okay. Not to a cop, but I probably would if I had no reason to be there. I'd take that as a threat on my life. They're coming to my door for absolutely no reason. Damn right I'm going to have a gun. Anyway, so when you look at this whole thing, I look at it as it was an overzealous deputy who took the law into his own hands, essentially. Mm-hmm. Evidently, he didn't know nothing about the Constitution or didn't care. He went on assumptions. He did not have clear evidence. You know, right there he says, he believed he was in an extremely dangerous situation by the poor information he'd been given before approaching the door. Well, if you can't find any evidence of wrongdoing, then you don't approach the door. That's
no.
You don't knock on it even.
You know what? You back up and reevaluate. You know, there's something there.
Or you call me. Maybe you call someone. Maybe you call your sheriff. Maybe you call your superior and say, hey, I can't make a clear distinction here. Maybe you should come too.
Yeah.
To me, he escalated it by doing what he did. Anyway, the tragic and rare situation came about from a series of unfortunate events and errors. That's how they're classifying it.
Yeah.
Witness misunderstood, mischaracterized what was happening in the apartment based on her assumptions. The leasing agent reinforced those assumptions in her information about the previous event where she was unsure of the location. Duran, the deputy, was told the information was at least secondhand, but acted as if it was clearly correct. Right there, secondhand information.
Yeah.
I mean, this could lead even down that rabbit hole with red flag laws, and this is exactly that kind of situation. Anyway, to me, yeah, and they say there, this primed him to react violently to a situation which up to then had no violent component. And he did. But I want to see him charged with something. So it says Roger Forston lost his life. Deputy Duran has lost his job, and he may be convicted of a crime. We'll have to see. And they got kind of listed here, negligent homicide or manslaughter. Right. I'd say it'd probably be manslaughter. But nonetheless, it should happen. He did the wrong thing. He absolutely was in the wrong to me. He killed somebody. He didn't defend the public for the greater safety. He killed a man because he evidently thought he had the right to to go based on assumptions and misinformation to go in and tell this guy what was doing or see what was happening. He didn't have that right. He had no right to go
in. If all your information is FUBAR, then what you do, you reevaluate, you throw out the plan and you reinvent the plan. You do, you know, you back up and you assess, you know, this guns blazing, jump up, knock on the door. You better open this door. You know, that type of crap. Oh. You know, we see that on TV all the time being portrayed, and I'm sick of it. I'm so tired of it. Or, and you know what? We hear that when we're getting pulled over for stupid stuff like crossing the what's that line called?
The fog line.
There's no fine attached to crossing the fog line, but that's reasonable cause enough to pull you over.
What the legislature did is created the probable cause, which is bullshit. And like I said, I mentioned red flag law. This situation right here is exactly what I will admit this. What happened there is rare. It doesn't really happen that often. But I'm telling you right now, red flag laws would lead to more of this because you could have somebody with misinformation call up, make an accusation to a leasing agent. Okay. Remember, that would have been the first person. The second person report would have come from the leasing agency to the police officer or to the sheriff's department. And then they'd relay that because they got the wrong information to their deputy or to their police officer. So the police officer is probably already going in there with this assumption that I have a domestic dispute case going on. They're already going to be on high alert, probably rightfully so, because that was the information they're given. Mm-hmm. And this could happen because if it's a red flag law type state, a guy like me sees a cop coming to my door for no reason. I'm going to be armed.
Yeah.
I'm going to be armed. I mean, I've been in that situation in my vehicle where I had it sitting there, not illegal, and I had a guy get pissy with me. And luckily, I know the laws in both North and South Dakota, and I didn't get any, had no issues. Oh, thanks. Tell them thanks for listening. and that's kind of where we're at. I see so many bad things in this particular case, and it could get worse and more common with red flag laws if they pass states, because you'd have this happening all the time then. But yeah, this guy needs to be tried. He does. He needs to be charged. If I was a district attorney down there, the guy's probably going to get charged. I mean, that's just the way it's going to be because he did the wrong thing and he killed somebody. It wasn't a mistake. He didn't have to do it, but he did.
Well, he escalated it for no reason other than hearsay and wrong information. I mean, he should have recognized, you know, I saw the intent in his eyes. You know, that stuff that bugs me.
I like what Gene put up here. He said, could have got the guy at work or something. Yeah, you know, if there was suspicion, Gene's absolutely right. Why didn't they go about and maybe tail the guy or do a little more investigative work into this and see if there was an issue? Or, you know, went somewhere and approached him without coming to the door. Who knows? He probably had his hand on his gun. I mean, we had a guy in Lemon do that. We called him Barney Fife because he's always acting like it. He would put his hand on a traffic stop. He'd walk up with it like that. Like, oh, kiss my butt. Lee was his name, but he's no longer here either. He moved on.
No, they always do.
I mean, really, if you're that scared, maybe you're in the wrong business.
Yeah, well, you know, that's the thing is that I've said it before, is that the training time that they give to police officers that are out there is not long enough. It's not enough.
I agree. I mean,
I'm not about these schools that, you know, having to teach all these goofy classes and stuff like that. But yeah, they should be taught a lot longer about de-escalation. They should be taught a lot more about the law. There's the thing about it. They should be taught about the law, not exactly, you know, what am I going to go and entrap people for?
You know, I find it interesting that to be a lawyer, because that's what I started out to be.
Right.
I had to get a bachelor's degree in something. I mean, really, that's where it starts, which is bullshit. You should just be able to go to law school. If you're going to be a lawyer, go to, I don't need.
That's what it used to be.
Yeah. And then you go to law school and it's 3 to 4 years, depending on how good you are there. And then you take the bar exam. And then if you pass that, then you can actually be an expert on the law. Right. Mm-hmm. And you got to keep updating yourself because the laws change. But an officer goes to a 9 to 18 month course, depending on what they're going into.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're supposed to go and enforce laws that they don't know what they are.
Right.
How do you do that? I mean, I would hope that some of them get a little bit of their own side information. I think guys like, you know, Dan, our friend Dan Brown, who was part of mm-hmm. our NRA stuff for years, and he's a good guy. He truly is. And he's a fair guy, and he was a great officer.
I know. And I've ticked off Dan, and I know. And I,
no,
I, you know,
I have too. Trust me, Dan, I've had some conversations. Yeah. But I can tell you right now that they're not all that way.
No. Okay.
And I ran into a lot of them. I mean, I traveled 60,000 miles a year on my vehicles when I worked for the NRA. That's what pretty much it averaged out for those years I was with them, every single year. I sped. I make no excuse. I don't care. I don't respect the speed limit. Never will. I think it's a victimless crime. And they can kiss my butt. And to me, the fines aren't that expensive. Well, South Dakota's kind of getting up there. But
yeah.
Minnesota, you don't want to get caught. But that's a whole other thing. But as far as I'm concerned, I got no use for a speed limit. So I speed and I break that law. And I don't care. So I meet a lot of officers. And, you know, some are good. Some are just jackasses. They're all, and I'm not going to say that was rare.
Yeah.
I met, that was about a 50-50. It really was.
Actually, I mean, here in South Dakota, I've had the best conversations with state troopers. And I think because I think they're trained more. I think they're trained to de-escalate so much more than the city cops are.
I can tell you that most of my bad interactions weren't necessarily with sheriffs. They were always the deputies or police officers in a municipality.
Yeah.
The HPs, honestly, pretty professional. I mean, there's always that occasional one. But for the most part, most of the HPs were great. I mean, you know, they'd come up and go, you know, I can always tell how this was going to go just by their first questions. You know, hey, you know, kind of going fast, weren't you? Yeah. You know how fast you're going? I said, I just flat out tell them, listen, I know I was speeding because I was.
Yeah.
And usually we could have we'd strike up a pretty good conversation because they'd run the plate and see it was, you know, well, it was licensed NRA.
Yeah.
And a lot of times I'd even get them to come to a banquet. So they're not all bad guys.
No,
they're really not. But there are those ones. But I will agree, Mike. I had a lot more professionalism from HPs than I did from the local cops in towns and county sheriff's deputies. Not so much the sheriffs, but the deputies themselves.
Right.
But I don't know. Keith O'Donnell laughed at Barney Fife comment. He probably knows who I'm talking about. Yeah. You probably remember when Lee was a cop in Lemon. That was
quite hilarious. You can correct me on this one, but I believe if I talk to some of my lawyer friends I have in the Masonic Lodge, is that in South Dakota, I don't think you have to go to school anymore to become a lawyer. I think you can take the bar.
I believe you can. I know I looked at that one other time that's been years ago, that I could just take the bar, which, you know, doesn't matter.
That could be your third act.
Yeah, well, it'd be interesting. I can tell you this, Mike. We actually had to take that bar when we was at Boy State. I don't know if they still do that. I don't come out of here. Boy State kind of sucks anymore. But I actually took it because I thought maybe I'd, you know, take a position either in our city or in the state when we were electing people. I actually passed it. Now, I didn't pass it with flying colors. Don't get me wrong. I was pretty impressed that I passed it. And it was the actual bar that we had for South Dakota. But I had a weird hobby of reading South Dakota codified law books when I was in high school. I'd check them out and read them. And because I wanted to know what my rights were. I did not want to be wrong on that because I hated the strong arm of the law, as they like to call it, because they had no reason to be that way. Just be professional. That was always So I did fight them. I fought them every time I got pulled over for dumb things. Now, if I was breaking the law as far as speeding, I don't believe in that loss. It didn't bother me, but it was the other things that really got me going. Keith, what was your record for Morristown to Lemmigan? Oh, my gosh, I don't remember. It's 20 miles, and I made it there really, really, really fast. I don't even remember what it was.
We'll just say that and let it go, yeah.
Made it really fast. I think I remember me and Keith going side by side with our lights off at dark down there by Sherdall's. You'll know where that's at, right, Keith?
Yeah.
I'm sure you remember that. We had a lot of fun back in the day, but and my kids, I don't want them doing none of that, right?
Right.
So yeah. Anyway, I'm going to get off of that. I think we've beat that horse to death, but I just thought it'd be a good follow-up because we did have that. I know we talked about it on Mitchell in the Morning, but I think we talked about it on this show too, Mike. So.
Yeah, well, we did.
Keith, no, that never happened. Yeah. We can tell you. You know what? Maybe we should have a show where we just have guys get on here and talk about, you know, things we used to do. Yeah, that could be a whole.
Call it series. The statues of limitations over.
There you go. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's take another break. Thank some sponsors. Our top sponsors, of course, Laura Auto and Bloodline Connects. And then we'll come back and I think do an intro to the Badass of the Week.
Badass of the Week coming up.
Commissioner. I'm from
the Athlete's Foot, man. Brother. Hey, can you get my demo tape to somebody?
Lauer Auto Repair, located at 309 South Washington Street in Bismarck, North Dakota.
Give them a call at 701-258-6308.
The team of mechanics at Lauer Auto can take care of any problem your vehicle is having. And when you do business with Lauer, you can be assured you're doing business with a pro Second Amendment America First repair shop. There are plenty of other auto repair shops in the Bismarck-Mandan area. But why take a chance at patronizing a shop that might not have your beliefs at heart? Make no mistake. Lauer Auto is your pro Second Amendment repair shop. When you talk to the guys at Lauer Auto, don't forget to tell them that you heard they are a sponsor of Guns and the 701 and that you appreciate their support of our pro Second Amendment, pro North Dakota live stream and podcast. That's Lauer Auto Repair, 701-258-6308. 701-258-6308. Located 309 South Washington Street in Bismarck, North Dakota.
Experience the exhilaration of power in your hands at Bloodline Kinetics. Why Cerakote? Simply, it aids in firearm preservation while also giving your piece a unique look. Barrel threading, NFA laser engraving, bolt handle threading, mount, level, and bore, sight scope chamber rebarreling, and much more. Bloodline Kinetics is meant to reflect a long American lineage in gun ownership who stand for the Second Amendment rights, Bloodline, and the science behind gun accuracy, Kinetics. To some, it's just a concept. Constitutional right that can go away. To us, it's in our American bloodline, and we believe it should stay that way. Here at Bloodline Kinetics, we understand that hunters, sportsmen, women, and gun owners should have a quality firearm. Stop and see us at 2008 Morrison Avenue 2 in Bismarck, North Dakota, 58504, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call 701-390-7997. Visit our website, bloodlinekinetics.com.
Hey.
Ah, we're back. How about that, huh?
Gunsandthe701.com. Back in the house.
And as Mike always points out, we have our little, if you look up there, it says Guns in the 701 donation. And if you're ever interested in helping keep this baby afloat, you can do whatever you want, 5, 10, 20, 100, whatever you want, and donate just to keep this going. I can tell you, right now it costs just to have the platform streaming things $100 a month. And yeah, we're doing okay there. But that, just to give you an idea, that's just one expense. It's not cheap and not free to do this. So that's why we love our sponsors and we thank
We got our programs that we have to buy as well. And that's the thing now is you can't buy a program. You have to subscription for it. I mean, that's the thing. That's how they get you. I sound like my dad on that one.
I'm good, though, because I run older stuff. I mean, my computer's new, but I run older programs, and I own them.
I know. But we just got me a new computer, and that's why some of the editing's gotten a little better with the some of the stuff we do, too. So because I got a nicer machine now. But, you know, it took us a little money to do that, so we got to invest it wisely and got to use it properly. Studio stuff, you know, I still got to buy some more insulation for the ceiling. You can't hear the flushing as much as you used to.
That sounds pretty good, Mike. It's sounding good now.
Yeah, my son even says that when he walks in here because of all the padding I got around now that it's really muffled.
I do got to put something up there. This is reference to what we were talking about before the break. Eric says, yeah, cat tags and lemon with the longest tails. That's right. And we were kids. There was a lot of stray cats running around getting in garbage and, you know, grabbed the BB guns and the slingshots or even the bows. I know that there was a little bow practice going on. We printed them at his dad's house with his little Apple computer that he had, and then the trophies were determined by length of tail. You know, the things you do as kids. That's why we should all turn into serial killers, according to the
According to the books, yeah, there was also were also be there. I've had so many head wounds due to the accidents and stuff like that. I'm supposed to be crazy or whatever else, but
So we used to have a little bit of fun there. By the way, Jamie, I asked him to send us this. So here's what's on. We'll talk about it before the show ends too. Tomorrow night, 701 Nation, Levi Nelson's going to be joining Jamie to talk about his recent Montana bear hunt, bows and guns. He's doing a trivia. I'm going to have a trivia will be a 6.5 Creed and a 308 win related. So keep that in mind. He's going to be asking a question, and that's for a Bloodline Kinetics barrel threading. And we have one of them to do as well. So that's how Jamie's going to do that. So tune in tomorrow night. And he's at his new time, too. We've just copied Jamie. And that's at 7 o'clock Mountain, 8 o'clock Central. Right where you're listening tonight, you'll be able to catch it all. 701 Nation. And tune in, because you're going to want to try to win that free barrel threading. I think that's about 100 to 125.
Even if you're on the road, most of us got good cell signal nowadays. So you can still put it on your phone, put it up on the dash, and still go with it, you know, and have fun. Yeah. We've got all the different social network platforms.
All right. I'm going to turn it over to you. We got your segment coming up, which is becoming pretty darn popular, and you do a great job. So take it away, Mike.
Now, not a long one today. It's only about 7 minutes long, but a good one. It's actually a little more modern. It goes back into the late 80s, early 90s. I don't know if you knew this, but there was a lot of gang actions happening in the inner cities in those days. Apparently, crack is whack. So with that in mind, we have a couple of soldiers that decided that, well, they weren't going to take that in their neighborhood. So usually they make a good Charles Bronson movie out of this one, but we'll go ahead and do it right now with our badass of the week. And of course, I'll let it introduce itself as we go along. So enjoy. You want to hit it for me? Because or do I hit it?
Oh, I'll go ahead. Yeah, I'll do it.
You hit it for me.
If I can remember.
Everybody, welcome back to GunsInA701.com and our weekly Badass of the Week. This week, we're covering Army Sergeant Bill Falk. Now, he was an Army Ranger at Fort Lewis, Washington, when he purchased a cheap house in a rough Tacoma neighborhood as an investment in 1989. Now, to help protect that investment, he was determined to help push the drugs and gangs out by any means necessary. He had no idea he was about to see combat from his own living room. Now, the late 80s and 90s saw a new peak in gang violence in America. Unlike other periods of gang activity, these years were particularly dangerous for some areas of the country. Now, the late 80s were also the peak of the crack epidemic, because crack is whack. Drug-related crimes surged 180% through the decade. That, according to the Bureau of Justice Statistics, Tacoma was considered ground zero for gang activity in Washington State. Now, Falk did what any of us would do. He was concerned that his house on Ash Street, his block, was being used to deal crack cocaine. Now, he purchased his house for $10,000 with the idea that property values would rise. He was set on ensuring that the drug-ridden neighborhood would become safe from gangs and drug dealers sooner rather than later. Now, he began to videotape the people who visited the suspected drug houses. He wasn't wrong. The occupants were members of the Crips. Now, from here on out, we'll be referring to the Crips as dumbasses because, well, it's self-explanatory. The dumbasses were a street gang that was spreading from California to Washington in search of new markets for drugs. Now, don't get me wrong. At the same times that the dumbasses were dealing crack, white kids all over the United States were doing their own drugs from coast to coast. Now, Falk told the Associated Press that gang members began to threaten him when they noticed that he was filming their movements. When he feared that the gang was about to take action against him, well, he called his friends from the 2nd Ranger Battalion to his house to have a, quote, party and be present in case the house was attacked. Again, he was not wrong. just after the Rangers arrived on September 23rd of 1989, some 15 to 20 gang members, i.e. dumbasses, began to shoot up the 32-year-old's house while his buddies were inside. Now, luckily, the Rangers had brought their own party supplies in the form of weapons. Now, the dumbasses were probably a bit surprised that their would-be victim's house began to return fire. For an estimated 10 to 30 minutes, the two groups exchanged intense fire in a gun battle. Now, that was on the streets of a residential Tacoma. Witnesses said hundreds of rounds from handguns, shotguns, and semi-automatic weapons were fired, and somehow no one was hurt. After a while, because it usually takes them a while, the police arrived on the scene and the shooting stopped. Now, all but two members of the gang fled. Those two were arrested, but only one was actually charged. And he was let go soon after because our justice system is foobarred. Now, the Rangers' weapons were confiscated by the authorities, but the Army considered the event necessary for their self-defense. Now, this is a quote from Major Clyde Newman of the 2nd Ranger Battalion that he told the AP News Service.
From everything I am told by the city police, the Rangers were right. They were having a party, and they were attacked. They returned fire. I expect nothing less.
The incident was a turning point for the city of Tacoma. It brought national attention to the gang issue in the city streets and prompted residents to take more active roles in policing their neighborhoods. Because Lord knows, policing doesn't come from the police. As of October 2020, that house that Folk had bought and that his fellow Rangers defended is worth $447,000. That according to real estate website Redfin. And the Hilltop neighborhood that saw an outbreak of violence is one of Tacoma's quietest. Sometimes it just takes a spark, right? As usual, when you're dealing with gangs, i.e. dumbasses, they were a bit shocked when the Army Rangers took up proper defense positions and returned fire, protecting themselves and their neighborhood, because drug-dealing gangs are notoriously cowardice. Now, the shootout on Ash Street was wild and chaotic, but eventually, Tacoma's Hilltop neighborhood became one of the city's safest. As for Staff Sergeant Folk, his investment became an incredible success. It pretty much all sums down to one simple thing. Crack is whack. No, the other thing. Army Sergeant Bill Falk and his buddies are true badasses. Now, sources for this story were the WarHistoryOnline.com with Todd Niekirk, Military.com with Blake Stilwell, and Popomedic Podcast. We thank everybody for tuning in for Guns in the 701.com's Badass of the Week. If I insulted you as a gang member out there listening to this, well, I don't care, dumbass. Remember, if you've got a Badass of the Week you want to hear about here on Guns in the 701.com, all you got to do is email us. And you can do that by going to guns@gunsinthe701.com. And as you can see that little QR code up in the corner, you can click on that and, of course, donate a little cash to us to help us out as we improve our studios and keep the podcast running. Anything you got, 5, 10, 15, 20, will be appreciated. Plus, don't forget to check out our store at gunsinthe701.com and pick yourself up some merch. And as always, we do appreciate everybody tuning in for gunsinthe701.com and gunsinthe701.com's Badass of the Week. As my buddy Clay always says, keep your powder dry and stay safe, you bunch of badasses.
Oh, now I got to figure out how to get this off here because this is new to us, guys.
That's fine. That's fine. We'll figure it out here in a second. I think we just... There. Yeah, there we go.
There it is.
Hey, I'm big.
There, we're back.
There we go.
Like I said, they got a whole new thing here they did. We'll figure it out. I didn't like it at first, but I think we're going to be able to work with this. I really do.
It's got some tweaks that we got to do, but I think we'll be good. I think we'll be good once we get it all done.
Yeah, say hi to our Twitch listener over there, so appreciate you tuning in. Gotta love that, don't you? You know, I switched over here to take a look at Twitch. I'm telling you, it is clear over on there. Whatever they got, it's really good.
Oh yeah, it's a good program. Like I said, I watch my daughter over on there. She plays video games against people, which is pretty good. I watch a lot of bad, Godzilla movie stuff on there. So yeah, goofy stuff.
Well, Jamie said that he tried to comment from Twitter, and I don't know why it didn't come through. I noticed that we're not. I haven't seen any Twitter comments come through here. I did check our Twitter stream, and I seen it was actually live on Guns in the 7-1. I think I finally figured that one out and had to do with our email and me logging out of my personal one and putting our Guns in the 7-1 in there. So anyway, but hey, nice job, Mike. I thought that was fun. I thought that was a good one. Dumbasses.
Dumbasses.
And then, Jamie says, nice work, Deeks. It was. I really enjoy those, so. Like I said, I think they're probably becoming one of the most popular segments we got.
I don't remember if it was Dave Fettig that turned me on to that story or if that was Jamie, but yeah, I got to appreciate it. You know, like I said, you guys got any ideas, you can just drop us a line at guns and gunsinthe701.com and we'll, and I'll work Absolutely. It out because I got a good one next week. It's going to be another lady. We're doing one for the ladies next week. And she was a badass, so we're going to have that one coming up and more. So, yeah. And we'll have this one probably out posted on our social medias tomorrow so you can watch it by itself and share it. And so if you can share it, we would appreciate that.
Just a reminder to everybody, I probably won't be uploading everything tonight like I usually do right after the show because I'm going to go up and join my nephew and his fiance and everybody else for supper. So I'm gonna do my best to roll out of here as soon as we can. I would like to not go later than 8:30. Anyway, all right, but yeah, great job. I thought it was another fine episode myself. So all right, so I got some information. I think I put that out there and we'll put it up again tonight after about 701 Nation. But what else do you want to go into the Chicago deal?
The Chicago concealed carry shooting. That one. Yeah, we can talk about that real quick. Okay. So once again, the only way to survive in some of the hellscape lands that we have out there is to be a gun carrier. And you know what? When you're legal, and that's a bad thing. The first thing that happens in places like Chicago is when you're a legal gun owner, you had to jump through some serious hoops to get that done.
You gotta have your FOID card, and it's pretty hard to get a concealed carry compared to out here, definitely.
But to have them, yeah, and of course it comes in handy, especially when three men are attacking, of course, your neighbor and whatnot, and of course it turned pretty violent. And I was watching a video a little while ago of a clip that showed up on Reddit, and it was this police down in Venezuela. Mm-hmm. And they had this guy up against the wall, and the guy told him, I saw the translation. They told him to, stop, stay where you are. We're going to have a conversation with you. So the guy started charging him. Well, the one partner on the side just shot him in the leg, or just pulled, quick draw and shot him in the leg. And then basically his mom was screaming this and that, and says, "Well, your son's a dumbass." Yeah. I told him to stand still.
Yeah, pretty simple. Pretty dumbass. Simple. Reminds me of that 70s show. Let's get into this then. So
let's get into it.
Basically, the headline was that Chicago sees three justified self-defense shootings by concealed carry holders, which you don't hear that very often because Chicago is usually the murder capital of every weekend. So here they had this would have been just this past weekend, it looks like. That was marked by violence and swift self-defense actions. Three separate incidences involved concealed carry license holders, resulting in four people being shot in Chicago. Being shot legally, I think is what they probably said in there. There's one in Belmont Cragen. Do you know where that's at? It's a neighborhood, evidently.
I'm not a Chicago learned. I've been to Chicago a few times, but it's nothing that I'm impressed by. Yep. So.
Yeah.
Other than food, because I am a food junkie. So other than that, nothing else impressed me. But it's just one of the many different areas that's being overtaken by the crazies.
Yeah, that's what it sounded. It said it happened Friday night, but it says the Belmont Cragen neighborhood turned violent. It sounds like it's been doing that for a while. The three men attacked a 43-year-old neighbor of theirs. It occurred in the 4700 block of West Wrightwood Avenue. Not that that matters really to anybody here, but. Under the attack, the homeowner, a concealed carry license holder, pulled out his handgun and shot his three assailants. The attacker is a 29-year-old man. He was shot five times in the torso. That's kind of funny.
Center mass. Yeah, there you go.
A 22-year-old man with a chest wound.
Center mass.
A 55-year-old man shot in the neck. They're all rushed to local hospitals in critical condition. The victim also sustained significant injuries from the assault. Was hospitalized in critical condition. According to the neighbors, tensions had been brewing between these two households, with the victim being a hardworking family man and the attacks reportedly causing recent troubles.
There you go.
There's one of them. You know, this is kind of doubling as our happy ending, too. I kind of
like it.
It.
I'm liking it. It's a triple ending.
Yeah. So then there was one in the Irvin Park area, and I do know where this is kind of at, I guess. I got relatives that live out in that in the Chicago, Waukegan, in the areas. But I do know I've heard of this, and I know where this is kind of at. But early hours Saturday morning, 3:30 a.m., a 34-year-old man in the 3700 block of North Spalding Avenue faced a carjacking attempt, which is not unusual in Chicago. Nope. That's why it's all the more reason you should be able to carry. Three individuals, notice this, three individuals, not one, three. Mm-hmm. You know, they approached him with guns drawn, demanding his car keys. Reacting quickly, the man, who holds a concealed carry license, fired at the robbers, causing them to flee. No injuries were reported, but the quick thinking of an armed citizen prevented a more dire outcome. I don't doubt that. Even if the guy would have gave him his car, who knows, they might have shot him anyway.
Anyway,
you just never know.
Well, and here's the thing is, it's summer now, and summer is in I remember this in Cincinnati. I remember this in a lot of the big cities I was in. Mm-hmm. Certain areas are gang initiation times. So you got to do something that's going to show up in the newspaper or on the police blotters to get yourself into the gang. Now, sometimes it's just stealing stuff and stealing cars and whatnot. Sometimes you got to beat somebody up. And sometimes you got to kill somebody. And you know what? I don't want to be on the bad end of that anyway around. So, once again.
I carry consistently, you know that. And that's why I will not be a victim. I'm just not going to be a victim. So, you want to take the next one here? Are you following that? Or you want me to?
Yeah, I am, as a matter of fact. So, Chatham home invasion, of course, another incident occurred approximately at 12:50 a.m. on Sunday in Chatham. A 50-year-old man attempting to break into a home in the – I love this because this is like the good old days when they used to put your address and stuff into a paper. 8100 block of South Champlain, Avenue. He met with defensive gunfire from a homeowner. So otherwise, the homeowner was there and the guy's breaking in. He was also concealed carry license holder. The intruder was shot in the back and taken to the University of Chicago Hospital with critical condition. Now, somebody will say, well, they shot him in the back. He must have been running away. You know, if he's halfway in my house, I don't care.
That's
he might have been turning because I did point the gun at him. But you know what? He's halfway in my house. He's halfway to killing one of my family members or myself.
Yeah.
No, thanks. No,
And Chatham, that isn't all that far away from some relatives I got out there. I didn't get into that one. So, yeah, wow. I might have to call and get an update.
Make sure they're all right.
Nah, I'm looking for a better ending than that. But anyway, says I don't know, and they say it's under investigation and no arrests were announced, nor should they be. So
I like that. Staying armed and dangerous. That's right. Since the legalization of concealed carry in Illinois in 2013, residents have been able to carry firearms for self-defense, even though it ain't easy, provided they meet the strict licensing requirements. These case highlights the importance of Second Amendment and the right to defense, demonstrating how responsible gun owners can protect lives and property. Because if I'm going to have to wait in Chicago or whatever for a police officer to come, I'm probably dead by then. So that's even here in Mitchell, they're not getting here in that quick.
No, well, where I live, they're not going to be. I mean, I'm 20 miles from anywhere. And, who knows? I don't think it would ever be a shock to anybody if someone really tried to break in here and cause harm that I kill them, and that's what I'm going to do. And then the sheriff's department gets the, what's happening with your deal there? Anyway,
well, my son's watching this apparently somewhere, and he said that I'm a little bright, so I turned down something. I might have to turn down something on too.
I'm sure it won't be any surprise that if someday they get a call that there's been an intruder and that he's dead, and then I shot him. I'm sure that won't be a surprise to anybody. So don't do it. That's all I can say. Just don't do it. If you see behind me, that's just a sampling. You know, you don't want to break into this house. I can tell you that.
You know, and I joke around that.
You know, my son might take you out. You've seen how
I've seen how he shoots, and he's got a hell of a form. You know, and I carry that old revolver, and there's sometimes, you know, that I'll carry something a little bigger with a little more ammo. Simply because of where I'm going. I mean, I gotta go to Sioux Falls tomorrow, and they're good for carjacking all the time down there. Yeah. So, you know, it's just the way it is. It's, you know, You've got to be prepared. You know, you think that everything's rainbows and Skittles out there, and that's fine. And, you know, but life will show you when you're least expecting it. So I'd rather be, what's my old saying is like, you know, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not out to get you. You
know, Second Amendment, it's just practice it every day, guys. Carry, go shoot, get on the ranges, do some shooting. The boys, I was out with them yesterday. They did a little bit, and they were out on their own and burned up a good 100 rounds of my 5.7 by 28. Layton, he likes that gun. You know, he really was always partial to the 22 mag in that Kel-Tec, and he still loves that gun. But he's really starting to like. I have a feeling when he gets old enough to carry, I'm going to lose my 5.7. I'm pretty sure that's what he's going to carry, but that's fine. It's a good self-defense.
And I've been looking at the Kel-Tec, is it a P17 lately, I think is what it is. And, you know, I like the Kel-Tec. Kel-Tec is a great manufacturer, as a matter of fact. And I like the 30, I do. But, you know, I like the, you know, the 17 would be more than enough. But,
So I'll tell you what, I think we're going to just, we're getting up there close to 8:30. So let's go into our announcement. I know that for Friday's show, well, first let's do Jamie's because it's on Thursday. So Jamie's going to be on tomorrow night. And he sent me a little picture. So there it is right there. There's Levi. So he's going to have Levi Nelson on. He's going to be talking about his bear hunt up in Canada. Going to talk some bows and some guns and have a lot of fun with that. Who knows what happens, you know, and then he's going to, you know, like I said, tune in. He's going to be giving away a rifle threading. Hey, are we eligible? We should ask Jamie. Are we eligible for that?
Send him. One of my multiple personalities online will be registering.
Use an AI generated voice, right? Mm-hmm. But anyway, so tune in tomorrow night, 7 o'clock Mountain Time and 8 o'clock p.m. Central Time for 701 Nation with JD. And again, Levi Nelson's his guest. They're going to be talking about the bear hunt that he just got back from in the communist nation. Well, we'll just call it socialist nation of Canada.
It's a socialist nation, yeah.
Yeah, so not commie quite yet. But anyway, so you want to tune in for that. Then Friday, you and I are going to be on Mitchell in the Morning. And we're because of the Twinkies, we don't get on there till about 7:40 Mountain, 8:40 Central. But we cram a lot into that, you know, 15, 20 minutes. I know one of the things we're going to talk about, because you and I were just talking about it, Brandon Maddox. He basically did an interview here recently with Ammoland talking about the Hearing Protection Act and what his thoughts were. And I love the article because I kind of with him, and I'm not going to give it away. If you want to tune in, and we'll tell you what he had to say about it. You'd think a suppressor guy would like it this way, but you might be surprised. So that'll be one of the subjects. And then what was one of the other ones we talked about that we're going to probably do? I know. Ooh. I'm going to hit on the Hunter Biden thing.
I know what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about it is it's buffalo season.
Oh, that's right. Yes,
Buffalo season. Well, I should say tourist buffalo season.
Tourist season for buffalo. Stay tuned. You're probably going to. It's kind of funny. You're going to want to. And it didn't happen in Custer, I don't believe.
No, not this time.
Not this time, but it's coming. So you want to tune in for that. And then the other thing is I saw this and I thought this was a great article, and it was actually written by the brand new director of the National Rifle Association, Owen Buzz Mills. And, you know, basically it caught my eye because it said, you know, NRA has had a lot of wins and are you tired of winning? And he's right since the beginning of 2024, and he kind of outlines them. So I'm going to go ahead and we're going to talk about that on Mitchell in the Morning again.
Sounds good.
Mitchell in the Morning on KFYR 550, 840 Central, 740 Mountain Time in the morning. That's right, in the AM, guys. We'll be joining Todd Mitchell there, just like we do every single Friday. And I always say we're kickstarting off their Freedom Friday segment, and I think it's a great way to do that. So that's what we got on the docket. And, of course, new time, and it looks like everybody found it here. New time for us every Wednesday night through the summer. Going to be 7 o'clock p.m. Mountain, 8 o'clock Central. And we appreciate everybody tuning in and listening tonight.
Yeah, I do appreciate it. Yeah, we had a lot of people staying with us tonight. We do appreciate that and all our social medias. And don't forget to share us whenever you get a chance when we do get everything out. Clay's hungry, so he's got to get upstairs and get a meal. I'm hungry.
It's a birthday. It's actually my nephew's fiance's birthday, so I'll go celebrate a little bit. So
we'll celebrate a little bit.
All right, guys. With that, let's check the chats out. Quick job here. Good job, guys, by Brian Wanner. Craig Moore and say, hey, good show tonight. Glad I got in on it, though. Glad you did, too. Good. If you weren't here earlier, it's better late than never, right? So
yeah, there you
appreciate
go.
You guys tuning in. Again, 7 o'clock Mountain, 8 o'clock Central, every single Wednesday night through the summer. Not going to want to miss Guns in the 701. With that, you got anything else you want to add?
No, except for your favorite thing to say.
Oh, yeah. My favorite thing is...
What is it? Keep your powder dry.
Keep your powder dry. We'll see everybody next week.